Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the April 9, 2024 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. My name is Sharon Rice, and I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract for Thurston County and about 12 other cities and counties up and down the I-5 corridor. As Thurston County's hearing examiner, I have jurisdiction to hear and to decide the items on today's agenda. And here at 10 o'clock, we are considering project number 2023-104-664. This is a request for reasonable use exception to add an addition to the property that is already residentially developed at 654 Sandra Lee Court Southeast in unincorporated Olympia. I have some instructions so that everyone knows how best to participate, if you would please follow along. Anyone who needs to get my attention today, you can call me Ms. Rice or Examiner Rice. If anybody has requests how they should be addressed, please let us know when you first testify. Of course, this virtual hearing is being conducted on Zoom and it is being recorded. The audio recording of the hearing is a crucial part of the record of this legal hearing, and therefore I ask everyone to help me maintain the audibility of all testimony that's offered by keeping your audio muted when you're not testifying, making sure cell phones or other devices in your environment are as quiet as possible when you are testifying, and also just try not to speak over each other if at all possible, because then we won't hear either person who's speaking. I don't anticipate any disruption, but if we did have apparently unintentional audio disruption, I would ask, if I can't get it rectified, for Miss Katie's assistance in getting it rectified. If we had any intentional disruption, I would ask for her assistance in removing people from the meeting. Just want to make sure everyone knows that's how we keep order in virtual land use hearings. I will be asking folks to testify one at a time. When it is your turn to speak, please state and spell your name for the record. If you are county staff or applicant representative, please then give us the correct job title that describes your relationship to this hearing. If you are a member of the public, at that point, I will ask you either for US mail or email address information. And then everyone will be asked, please, to take an oath to tell the truth before you testify. Pardon me in advance if I have to interrupt you to get that business accomplished. I just want to make some disclosures pursuant to the State of Washington Appearance of Fairness Law. That is a law that requires the decision maker in a land use proceeding to be free from bias or prejudice. Because it applies, I will let you know the following. Again, I'm not a Thurston County employee, and therefore I'm not biased in favor of the county's position. I work on contract for them and for the other governments. I don't own any property anywhere near the subject property, and I don't have friends or family who do. In addition, I have not had conversations with anybody, not staff, not applicant, not members of the public, regarding the merits of this RUE proposal. Because all of those facts are true, I believe I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision in this reasonable use exception request. Anyone who believes they have grounds to challenge my impartiality must raise that challenge at their first opportunity. And if you're in this meeting, that would be at your turn to testify today. In this, as in all land use applications, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant. That's a legal term that means the applicant is the party whose responsibility it is to provide evidence that demonstrates compliance with the permit criteria for approval and applicable development standards. However, in Thurston County, as in most jurisdictions, we do hear from staff first. That's typically because staff is more familiar with the code requirements and sometimes with the hearing process. So, because that's true, we will hear first from county staff. I do have questions for them based on my review of the materials. After that, there will be an opportunity for the applicant to make a presentation, and you will have the chance to add to or to challenge anything staff has said, to make as complete a presentation as you feel is appropriate, and then also to answer my questions, because I have questions queued up for you as well. After both of those presentations, I will call for public comments. At that point, I will ask Ms. Katie to help me identify anybody in the meeting who may be a member of the public who wishes to testify in this matter. We will ask folks to use the raise your hand function on Zoom. After we've heard from all members of the public who wish to testify, we will then close the public comment period and have responses, first from staff and last from the applicant. And they get to speak last because as the party with the burden, they get the last say in this hearing. At that point, we will be done with testimony. I will be taking the exhibits and testimony under advisement. I think everyone knows I'm not announcing a decision today. By county code, I have 10 business days from the close of the record to issue a decision. And the record will close at the end of the hearing with a few exceptions. Number one, if anybody offers evidence that is relevant and I determine that it should be admitted, we will make arrangements to hold the record open. And at the end of the hearing, we'll establish a schedule by which to establish a deadline by which that information would need to be submitted. It would be submitted via email to the hearing clerk, who would forward it to me and then keep it for the official record. Also, in virtual hearings, it's my practice to hold the record open briefly after the hearing to allow for post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who attempted to participate but had technology reasons they were unable to do so. In my case, that is a 2 business day period for post-hearing written public comment due to technology issues. If we did receive post-hearing written public comment, then staff and applicant would be requested to respond to that comment. You would also have 2 business days. So this creates a graduated schedule for decision deadline. And at the end of the hearing, we will go over that deadline. We'll identify any and all documents that we're waiting for, and I'll give you the dates that the decision can be expected to be issued before we adjourn. As we go forward, as always, I just wanna ask Miss Katie to please officially be deputized to jump in and interrupt me if I need to have my attention brought to anything that I'm missing. So thank you for that. Okay, just now I'm going to acknowledge the exhibits I was provided so that I could review the materials and be familiar to conduct an efficient hearing. As always, exhibit 1 is the staff report prepared by Community Planning and Economic Development staff. It will be exhibit 1, and on the last page of that document is a list of attachments. They are identified as attachments A through P. I did review all of those documents. In addition, there were public comments that were submitted. I believe I received 2 public comments this morning, or 2 different documents from Liz. One second, sorry. Her name is in the document title, but I can't see the whole title. Liz Cronenberg. So I received a 2-part document. It's identified by the hearing clerk as exhibit 2B.1 and 2B.2, and I did receive both of those documents. However, I have not had a chance to review them. I skimmed, but have not reviewed them closely. So just be aware that I will be looking at those later, and I will be asking the parties to confirm receipt of that document and also to respond to it during the hearing if they are prepared to do so. With that, we're ready to hear from planning staff. If I could ask please to have the first person who will speak unmute, state and spell your name, give me your correct job title, and allow me to swear you in.
Heather Tchaikovsky, HEATHERTSCHAEKOFSKE. I'm an associate planner and biologist with Community Planning.
Thank you so much. Will you please swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, Ms. Tchaikovsky. Please go ahead.
Great. This is for project 2023-104664. It is permit for reasonable use exception, or RUE, for attached accessory dwelling unit. The applicant is Chad Schroeder. The property owners are John and Kim Britcher. The owner seeks approval of RUE to construct a 706 square foot attached accessory dwelling unit, or ADU, to the existing single-family residence within a geologic hazard area in rural Thurston County. Access to the property is currently provided by Sandra Lee Court, southeast of public roadway. The owner's intention is to construct this addition with no steps, wide doors, and a bathroom where he can wheel directly into the shower for medical purposes. The owner's son plans to move back in as caretaker and occupy the extra bedroom made available by creating this ADU addition. Attachments D, E, G, and P. Footprint of the ADU addition is proposed to be set back 50 feet from the top of slopes at the closest point. Attachments E and F. The comprehensive plan designation is residential, and the zoning district is the rural residential 1 dwelling unit per 5-acre district, RR15, attachment B. This parcel is an abnormally shaped site at the top of the Nisqually Bluff, with the primary building area at the level top of hill. Landslide hazard slopes of greater than 40% and more than 15 feet tall occur along the eastern portion of the proposed development per Thurston County Code, or TCC 24.03. In addition, the property is fully within the Nisqually Hillside Overlay District. Per TCC 24.15.020, the Nisqually Hillside Overlay District is generally located on the bluff to the west of the Nisqually River and is characterized as a special landslide hazard area in Thurston County due to past unstable slope conditions. Residential development within this overlay district is prohibited under the listed criteria per TCC 24.15.021. As such, the subject property is larger than 1 acre in size, is already developed with a single family residence, and is not located on the portion of slope between Martin Way and I-5. Thus, an RUE permit is required to permit the proposed addition to the residence within the Nisqually Hillside Overlay District buffer of 200 feet. Written notice of the application was sent on October 18, 2023, attachment H. Notice of the public hearing was published in the Olympian and was sent to all property owners within 500 feet of the site at least 10 days prior to the hearing on March 29, 2024, attachment A. The project was determined to be categorically exempt from SEPA. The subject property is a legal lot created through plat recorded in 1967, Nisqually Heights, auditor file number 753007, meeting legal lot standards per TCC 18.04.045. The subject property is mapped with geologic hazard areas, critical aquifer recharge areas, and prairie and Mazama pocket gopher soils. Mazama pocket gophers and prairie are identified as important fish and wildlife habitats, which along with geologic hazards and critical aquifer areas are critical areas subject to requirements of the Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance, TCC 24, as well as the County Habitat Conservation Plan, or HCP. The property is not within the jurisdiction of the Shoreline Master Program. The property was reviewed by county staff and does not meet prairie habitat criteria. The property is mapped within a critical aquifer recharge area category 1 and 2, which are characterized by extreme and high aquifer sensitivity. The Thurston County HCP provides regulations for properties mapped within Mazama pocket gopher soils per TCC 17.40. The Thurston HCP enables the county to locally manage habitat protection when authorizing lawful projects that may impact the federally protected species. An HCP application is required prior to building permit issuance, and the appropriate mitigation fees for impacts to listed species are calculated at the time of HCP application and approval. The primary permitted uses in the RR 1 to 5 zoning district are single family residences and agriculture, TCC 20.09.020. The property is zoned for residential use. Single family and ADU residential use is a reasonable use of the property considering the area and zoning of the property. For the applicant, the size and location of the proposed addition was taken into consideration through the design phase to accommodate the facilities and accessibility required for the homeowner while minimizing the footprint and impact on the property. The proposed development is fully within the Nisqually Hillside Overlay buffer of 200 feet. The development has been reviewed and approved by the geotechnical consultant and county geotechnical staff, attachments F and I. The proposed building setback to top of bluff is 50 feet, which meets the typical minimum top of slope setback distance per TCC 24.15. However, the Nisqually Hillside Overlay Buffer is more restrictive. As proposed, the project should have little impact to critical areas, including impacts to vegetation, fish and wildlife resources, and hydrologic and geologic conditions. Maintained lawn within the geologic hazard area buffer will be removed for construction of the home. However, new plantings are proposed, which will partially make up for the loss of vegetation and provide improved erosion and stormwater control from existing site conditions, per the geotechnical report recommendations. A hydrological condition on site will be maintained by stormwater BMPs per the geotechnical recommendations. Development impacts will be limited on site, and the construction site will use best management practices to maintain water and air quality. Mitigation shall be accomplished through the recommendations of the geotechnical engineer, specifically the 50-foot setback from top of slope, drainage controls for stormwater runoff, and erosion controls. There should be no net loss of critical area function and value if the proposed revegetation and stormwater plans are implemented and the guidelines and recommendations are followed per the geotechnical report, attachments E and F. The proposal shall mitigate for any impacts to listed species of concern, the Mazama pocket gopher, via the HCP application process. As proposed and conditioned, staff does not believe the use will result in damage to other properties and should not threaten the health, safety, or welfare on or off the site. The development is proposed consistent with regulations intended to protect the environment and public health. The location and scale of existing development on surrounding properties is not listed by the applicant as a reason supporting their RUE request. The Public Health and Social Services Department recommends approval of the application, attachment L. Staff from Public Works Department closed their review with no comments. Thurston County Engineering Geologist Mark Beaver reviewed and accepted the submitted geologic report from Quality Geo Northwest, attachment I. The Department of Ecology requested soil sampling for the Tacoma Smelter Plume, attachment J. The applicant provided soil testing results, attachment K, which were routed to Ecology for review. Ecology reviewed and accepted the soil results with no further review required, attachment J. Nisqually Indian Tribe submitted a comment letter stating no concern with the project, attachment M. Squaxin Island Tribe submitted a comment email stating no concern with the project, attachment N. One public comment was submitted in response to the application noticing, objecting to the proposal, attachment O. The applicant submitted a public comment response providing project history and details, attachment P. Additional public comments were submitted in response to the hearing noticing opposed to the current proposal. As proposed and conditioned, the application for RUE is consistent with the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. Based on the prior analysis, the Community Planning and Economic Development Department concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements for RUE upon hearing examiner approval.
Thank you, Ms. Tchaikovsky. First, can I confirm, did you send Exhibit 2B to the applicants when it was received?
Sonia had sent those attachments to me as well as other staff. I'm not sure if it was sent to the applicant.
Yes, I went to the applicants as well this morning.
Thank you very much. And was it also forwarded to Mr. Beaver?
Yes.
It was. Thank you for that. Okay, questions about the proposal. The narrative and your staff report described the addition as an ADU. Is it, will there be a kitchen in this addition?
I believe so. It's, yeah, I believe in the narrative it's described as such, as an additional accessory dwelling area, but the applicant may wish to add further detail.
Sure. I have the same question queued up for the applicant. We can get more information at that point. I just want to confirm. I don't think it makes a difference for land use purposes. It's just so that the findings are correct. I'm looking at the revised site plan. I believe this is attachment E. It shows only one setback from property boundary, that is the distance between the northeastern corner and the north-ish property boundary. It's called out as 32.11 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other setbacks identified. Do we know those other setbacks?
I believe I checked for scale to verify they would be meeting the standard yard setback. Front is 20 feet.
Yes.
And that would be the most important in this instance. The side yard setback is 5 feet.
Got it. So, but just based on scale, you're confident
Yes.
front yard setback is met. Thank
Yes.
you.
And the building permit would be conditioned upon that.
Got it. The geotechnical report called for plantings between the new improvement and the crest of the bluff. The site plan appears to show a dense area of salal planting. I'm just asking for testimony from you as to whether or not those proposed plantings meet the county's requirements.
Yeah, as you may note in the geotechnical report, it's loosely recommending the need for plantings on the slope area between the new structure and the top of slope. And there wasn't a specific planting plan within the report, so county staff asked for a submittal of a specific planting plan. And the salal is what the applicant submitted. They are certainly able to change those plant species to meet some of the listed species within the geotechnical report.
Okay, so and as proposed, I mean, the site plan looks like it's just going to be a dense bed of salal. That would be okay with your department, but they're also free to choose other species from that list identified in the geotechnical report.
Right, and since we're dealing more with the geologic hazard, it's not so much of a habitat question. It's more of a, how can we establish the site conditions to hold the soil in place and provide for more erosion control. And it's my understanding, having a diversity of different plant species can provide for different layers of soil stability. So they may wish to substitute with a couple other species, such as snowberry or something like that.
Thank you. There's no recommendation from your department requiring that, though. That's just something they're at their option, they may choose.
Yep, and that would be based on the conditioning, which is recommending they are following the BMPs within the geotech report.
Yes, thank you. I just want to confirm regarding the county's Mazama Pocket Gopher HCP, even though your department determined there is no prairie habitat on site and there's no known gopher presence, they still have to go through the HCP application process because the property is mapped with prairie and gopher habitat?
Yeah, it's based on the gopher soils. So the gopher soil layer is a separate layer from the prairie soil review layer.
Thank you. So my main question for your department is, and if this needs to be passed off to Public Works, that would be acceptable too. But from your department's point of view, how will compliance with the erosion control, drainage management, and plantings maintenance that are required in the geotechnical report be enforced over time to ensure that if approved, the addition stays in conformance with the geotech report into the future?
The erosion control is verified by both DevRev through the building permit, and the planning conditions also would require as an issue condition, that's standard. Stormwater is reviewed by the development review department. If planning wishes to make specific conditions related to stormwater, that would come through in the building permit as well. And stormwater, we'd have to work with DevRev for those inspections if needed, because that's not something we're technically capable of. The planting maintenance, that's typically for a small project like this, that's going to be a project condition and the final condition that the plants are actually installed for the, at least this bare bit planting plan that we have right now. Base, I should say.
So in terms of managing plantings, that would be, if approved again, and the plantings are installed, that would just be improved. That would be reviewed through an inspection of the project prior to certificate of occupancy or something like that.
Yes, it's a prior to final inspection.
that we'd verify plantings are in place, and then the maintenance is on the applicant after that.
All right. Thank you for that. Does your department or you have any response to public comments that are expressing concern about slope stability?
I'm not a geotechnical engineer, and in reading the two reports, it appears that they are basically noting a lot of the same features and concerns with the site. And the second report appears to just be emphasizing the need for the stormwater management and control of groundwater. So I'll be deferring to Mark Beaver for additional testimony on that.
Great, thank you. Shall we hear from Mr. Beaver now, sir? Are you in the meeting at this point? Good morning.
I am here. My name is Mark Beaver, M-A-R-K-B-I-E-V-E-R. I'm a licensed engineering geologist with Washington State, and I've worked here in CPED as our, I do reviews for geotechnical reports that come in.
Great. May I swear you in, sir? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Beaver, did you have a chance to review the geotechnical report submitted? I got it this morning from Liz Cronenberg.
I did get it this morning as well.
Have you had enough time with it to respond or make any?
I did. And I do agree with Heather. It basically emphasized a lot of the same points as the quality geo report that was submitted originally for this proposal. My concern with this site was one, the offset, the 50-foot offset minimum that is met under the plans that I've reviewed. The biggest issue that I had with this one was stormwater runoff and keeping a infiltration on the site to a minimum. That does also appear to be identified in both the quality geo report as well as the Mud Bay Geotechnical Services report that I received this morning. The quality geo report recommends that all roof runoff and footing water sources, new or existing, be tight lined, piped away from the upland site to an existing catch basin. And that is a very strong recommendation that I would highly recommend that we implement.
Okay. Do the concerns in public comment cause you to change your mind about the applicant's geotechnical report demonstrating compliance with criteria for approval?
Yeah, it is an issue. Anytime you have a steep bluff like this, you're going to have landslides on there. And anytime you have a coinciding rainfall event like we did in 1996, which is identified in those exhibits, we're going to have a lot of landslides. And we did in those particular year, had over 100 landslides in Thurston County along bluffs. We have them every year along steep bluffs, and that's why we don't like people building below them, but also above them. And that's why the 50-foot setback is important in this case. Those lots existing below the bluff are in danger. They're going to be in danger whether there's this proposal goes through or not. My concern here is that the stormwater not exacerbate groundwater issues on the bluff. And so that's the biggest issue that I had with that. That's basically what concerns me about this location is the groundwater.
Okay. Shall I hear from Public Works at this point about stormwater management? And then Mr. Beaver, if there's any follow-up questions, maybe I would come back to you.
Certainly.
Thank you so much. Can I hear from Public Works, please?
Yes, I'm Arthur Saint with the Thurston County Public Works Department.
Thank you, sir. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Saint, did you have a chance to review the proposal yourself?
I did. And the site plan shows splash blocks, but the geotechnical report says to tight line the water, and there is a catch basin in the driveway of the existing home. So the plan is on hold until they revise that to show a drainage plan complying with their geotech report.
Okay.
But that would be reviewed during the building permit typically not during the RUE.
Got it. So again, catch basin in the driveway, where does the water from that catch basin go?
It runs down to Stillicum Road, which is near the property, and continues on down the hill to the bottom where I believe there's a treatment pond, and I'm not 100% sure what's further down, but it gets into Stillicum Road and gets down the hill.
Okay. And do we have any concern that the catch basin in the driveway is not going to be adequately sized for the runoff from this additional impervious surface?
No, it's a 12-inch pipe, and this is a very small addition. I'm not overly worried about that.
Anything else, Mr. Saint?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Let me check in with Environmental Health. Do you have testimony for us?
Good morning. Yes. Dawn Peebles. That's DawnPeebles. I'm an Environmental Health Program Manager with Public Health and Social Services Environmental Health Division.
Thank you very much. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much.
Our department did review the project, and our correspondence is included at Attachment L. It is important to note our department did review the project as an addition to the existing single-family residence rather than an ADU. The master application and RUE application neither addressed an ADU. I did see in preparation for the hearing that the geotech report identifies it as an ADU. And the site is appropriately sized for an ADU based on the sanitary code. However, we do have different requirements for the septic system sizing, and that will just need to be addressed prior to issuance of building permit, which are condition notes for the project as well.
Great. All right. I don't think I have any specific questions for you, Ms. Peebles, but thank you for being here. Okay, that's all the questions I had for the county at this point. I would be happy to hear an applicant presentation. Who will speak first for the applicants, please?
I'm Chad Schroeder with High Tech Building Design. That's Chadschroeder.
And shall I just call you applicant representative?
Sure.
Great. Sir, may I swear you in, please? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Okay, thanks. We're happy to hear your testimony now.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have a whole lot to add other than the stormwater situation. We did notice the storm drain in the driveway, and when we started the project, we were under the assumption that that was just for the road system there and the driveway. So, but we did find through some site investigation that the downspouts of the existing house do, in fact, tie into that catch basin there. So, we'd be more than happy to connect the whole thing up to that catch basin for sure. Anything we can do to keep water off the hillside?
Great. Mr. Schroeder, is it an ADU? Will there be a kitchen in this space, or is it just because I read it as a living space with probably sleeping quarters and a bathroom, but I didn't see anything about a kitchen. Do you know?
There's a kind of a kitchenette area.
There is.
But it's, yeah.
Okay. Again, we just heard from Environmental Health that will make a difference with regard to septic sizing. And so that's something that would have to be addressed. I might circle back later to Ms. Tchaikovsky, and I don't know if there's a separate ADU permit required. I would ask her that later. One thing too, that you can probably help me understand, Mr. Schroeder, the narrative describes a 706 square foot addition. The site plan shows 926 square feet of new impervious surface. Can you help me understand those two numbers?
As the floor area of the addition versus the impervious surface area, which counts the roof.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure there wasn't anything I was missing. Is there any additional hard surface for driveway or sidewalk to the proposed improvements, or is it just going to attach to the existing driveway?
Yeah, it's just using the existing driveway.
And sir, did you get a chance to look at the public comments expressing concern about the slope, and did you have any response to those?
Yeah, I read that this morning. Mostly, yeah, just the runoff that we were talking about. Steve went out there this morning and checked the runoff on the driveway, and it seems to be about 90% of it all runs into that catch basin. And the addition, we should be able to tie into it too. So.
All right. Did you have a chance to review the recommended conditions of approval in the staff report? And did you have questions or concerns about those?
I believe I've read everything, but, I didn't have any concerns.
Great. Is there anybody else who is here for the applicant who would like to testify? Not required, just an offer? No. All right. Great. So let me just circle back real quick to Mr. Aikofsky. Is there an ADU permit, ADU review process that would need to be considered?
It's considered through the septic and building permit process. Great. It's not a separate permit.
Thank you. Every jurisdiction handles them differently. So thank you for clarifying that for me. I don't have other questions at this time for county staff or the applicants. And so I am ready to hear public comment. Do we have members of the public who would like to testify?
It looks like at this time we do have one member. The username is Liz.
Yes.
So Liz, you'll get a notice on your screen asking you to rejoin the webinar as a panelist, and you'll go ahead and click that.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Could we ask you please to give us your last name? Could you state and spell your name and then give me either a US mail or an email address?
Okay. My last name is Kohlenberg, Kohlenberg.
Kohlenberg.
And my email is GEOLIZ at comcast.net.
GEOLIZ.
Yeah, GeoLiz.
Thank you very much. And if I could please ask you to raise your hand where you are to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. And we're ready to hear your testimony.
So do I speak now?
Yes, you do. We're okay. Ready to hear your testimony. Go right ahead.
I was very happy to hear that the drain exists and that the Richards are willing to connect to the stormwater that handles one of the two issues that we had identified. The other issue we identified, nobody's talked about yet, which is hooking up to the sewer. Adding a third party to this 50 feet from the bluff, that septic adds a lot of water to the soil. And so we would very much like to see the Britchers connect this addition to this, and actually their whole house, but the connection to the Lacey sewer system, which runs down Steilacoom. And it doesn't seem at all appropriate to us to expand the septic that's there. I think that you've already seen our presentation, and you've seen that we have a second geotechnical report that says yes, indeed there is a risk. It's not a risk of a deep seated landslide. It's a risk of the shallow landslides you see. But in our experience, those shallow landslides are huge and very dangerous. And they're sudden, and they happen in the case of the ones that happen here, often in the middle of the night. And, you know, they 90 tons of mud. It's a lot of mud.
Yeah.
So we really would appreciate, you know, anything that removes water from being infiltrated or sewage, or a septic is useful. It reduces risk. Anything that adds water increases risk. So that's basically the McAllister Creek hearing, a homeowners association position. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Great. And is there any other member of the public who'd like to testify in this matter?
Hi, I would like to say something about the expanding septic system. I'm the applicant, Kim Bretcher.
Could I ask you, please, Britcher, is that right?
That's correct. That's okay. Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
And just let me just pause you, even though I swear you in, and just check. Is there anybody else in the public who wants to testify? Because typically we don't have responses until we're done with public comment. So stand by 1 second. I don't think there is, but let me check with Ms. Katie.
No one has their hands raised at this time. I know we do have some staff members observing also.
Great. Sorry about that, Ms. Bridger. I just wanted to double check and make sure. I thought we were done, and we are. So sure, go ahead and respond.
Okay, so the expanding septic system, we don't have to do that. The septic system is already approved for 3-bedroom, which it will be when the addition is built, 3-bedroom. So that there is not going to be any expansion of the septic system.
And can you provide any clarification about whether there will be a kitchen in the addition?
As far as I know, it's a small area of cooking. I don't know if you can call it a kitchen.
Do you know what appliances are proposed for cooking?
Probably a stove.
Okay.
I don't know how big of size it would be. I mean, it can be a, you know, countertop oven too.
Okay. I think that's all I had queued up for you. Anything else you want to add to the record?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me check with county staff. Any other response to the public comment? Ms. Peebles. Mm-hmm.
Yes. As Ms. Bretcher noted, the existing septic system was actually permitted as a repair in 2022 and installed with sized to support a maximum of 3 bedrooms. And although it was a repair, it did meet new construction standards. However, as I noted before, that 3-bedroom, because it's already sized to support 3 bedrooms, if this project is an addition of a bedroom to an existing single family, that is adequate to serve the addition. If it will be classified as an accessory dwelling unit, that would require an expansion of the septic system because the Sanitary Code Article 4 requires a minimum sizing requirement for any residential unit. Which is 240 gallons, which equates to 2 bedrooms. Therefore, if the septic were serving a single family residence and an ADU, it would need to be minimally sized to support 4 bedrooms, regardless of the number of bedrooms in the ADU.
All right. Can you speak to the request from Ms. Kohlenberg about whether it's possible for this residence to connect City of Lacey sewer?
Unfortunately, I'm not. That would be a question for the city itself. Mm-hmm. Based on our current mapping, it appears to be outside of the urban growth area. But again, I would defer to City of Lacey to determine if they would be able to serve this site.
Is there any reason under the Thurston County Sanitary Code to require connection to the City of Lacey sewer for
there
this
is not.
As a result of this development?
No.
I just need to make notes on your testimony. One second. All right. And so how would this issue of whether or not the septic has to be increased to handle a kitchen, at what stage would that be decided? Is that not something that we need to know at the time of land use permitting, or is that something that would be determined later?
It is required to be determined prior to issuance of the building permit.
Yeah. And so if the applicant does want to have a kitchen in this addition, then the plans would need to include whatever improvements are going in for the kitchen, and then also would need to propose an increase in the capacity of the septic system.
Correct.
Does, based on public comment and the concern about adding any liquid, any water at all to this hillside, does the public comment addressing that cause your department to have concerns?
The sanitary code has specific requirements for the septic system, and as long as it meets those requirements, we're required to approve the proposal. We would defer to Mr. Beaver regarding any slope concerns with that additional water.
Great, thank you. Mr. Beaver, would you have a concern about the required expansion of the septic system capacity if this is proposed to be an ADU?
My biggest concern is by far the stormwater issue. The amount of water that goes into the ground from stormwater during a storm event is dozens of times higher than what you would get from septic input from an ADU. As they were mentioning it, 200 gallons a day is essentially probably what passes through that hillside on a daily basis regardless. So no, I would not. Simply because of the volume is so small.
Also, is it not, I should have probably asked Ms. Peebles, if the septic system is sized to handle 4 bedrooms, does that necessarily mean there's going to be twice as much septic effluent being managed by the septic system? It's a capacity issue, right? It's not a use number.
So it's a minimum design standard that the Article 4 requires. As the applicant's proposing, it would be a 1-bedroom, not 2 bedrooms. So yes. Theoretically, yes, there would not be that full amount of wastewater flowing through the system.
Okay. Ms. Trakowski, any response from you to the public comment?
No, nothing further than I have to defer to environmental health and great. Geology.
Great. Thank you. Any other response from applicants to the public comment? Mr. Schroeder, anything else from you?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Ms. Peoples, is there any additional conditioning necessary to address the fact that a kitchen may be added?
Right now, our department had placed a condition on the REUE that reads, all conditions of the building site application under the specific project number must be met. That is included in the staff report.
Yes.
It is currently under review, and we do have a staff member that's been working with the applicant to address some of those items, and ultimately it'll come down to what that floor plan looks like for that addition, and again, whether it's determined to be an ADU or just an addition.
All right. So, so that I condition
do, is I adequate. Do believe the condition is adequate at this time. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that confirmation. I don't have any other questions. I see that Ms. Kullenberg's hand is still up. We don't typically have a second public comment opportunity. If she has additional concerns, is she able to talk to members of the county staff outside of this hearing to get questions answered?
Perhaps if we're interacting with those types of questions, would we then be sending them to you for the further review?
Not typically, no.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if it's a matter of just providing additional details as far as what we've looked at already. We can start that.
Well, we're still in the meeting and we have a few minutes. Ms. Kullenberg, are you still there? Can we promote her back to panelists, please, and see if she had something else she wanted to say for the record?
Okay. Ms. Kullenberg, you'll get the same notice on your screen. Looks like she's accepted.
Hello.
Yes. Am I on video and start video?
You should be able to. There you go.
Hi. Thank you. I didn't hear your question.
Your hand was still raised. I'm just checking
to see if you have something else
to say.
I believe that in answer to the question of is there Lacey availability, I haven't talked to Lacey either, but there are some of the people in our neighborhood below the Butchers who are hooked to Lacey sewers. So I think it is possible.
Got it. All right. Well, thank you for letting us know. That's what your additional comment was. With that, I am going to go ahead and take this testimony under advisement. I will go over the post-hearing schedule that I announced at the top. Again, just because technology can thwart participation and because virtual participation is invited, it is my practice to hold the record open for 2 business days following the hearing. That means the record is held open through April 11th. For post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who attempted to participate but were unable to do so for technology reasons. If we get no such comment, the record would close on April the 11th and the 10 business day decision issuance deadline becomes April 25. If we do receive timely post-hearing comment from folks who had technology problems, it would most likely go to Ms. Katie. Her email address is on the notice. It may also go to the planning staff. Whoever from the county gets it, please share it with the other. Also, make sure it's sent to the applicant representatives as fast as possible. And then I will ask for responses from county and applicant within 2 business days. That means your responses are due April 15th if we receive post-hearing comment, and that makes the decision due April 29th. I'm going to send this schedule to Ms. Katie so she can forward it to the parties and cause it to be posted online. Thanks very much, everybody, for your participation in this hearing and your work on this case. I appreciate you. Have a good day.
Thank you.